our first case this morning, 2023-0356, in the matter of the State of Ohio versus Joshua Fork. On behalf of the appellant, Ms. Sandretto. Good morning.
Good morning, Chief Justice Kennedy and the Supreme Court of Ohio. The State of Ohio would ask to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. We are here today to ask this court to reverse the finding of the Sixth District in its decision in State of Ohio versus Fork and reinstate the jury's guilty verdict for aggravated vehicular assault. Our first argument this morning looks at the state's decision regarding what definition of motor vehicle is applicable to aggravated vehicular assault in 2903.08. The Sixth District looked at the language of 4501.01 and determined that only 4501.01 was applicable, that 4511.01 was not applicable in any way to aggravated vehicular assault. The state argues that that is an incorrect interpretation of the statutes. Your Honors, we would ask you to look at the entirety of 2903.08 and how jury instructions actually work at a trial. When a judge is required to give a jury instruction, they must define every element of the offense. The first element of the offense that the jury must consider is whether or not the defendant in fact committed an OVI. No one, either party, has disputed that the definition of a motor vehicle for OVI is 4511.01. So once the jury instruction is given, a definition of motor vehicle has been given to the jury. The jury will be instructed that they must first consider whether or not the defendant has committed an OVI. And only after they have determined if he has committed an OVI, do they then look to see if that is the proximate cause of the alleged victim's serious physical harm. What the Sixth District has done and what appellate is arguing is that for one charge, a jury and a court are supposed to give two separate definitions of motor vehicle. That doesn't make any sense in the practice of law. To say to a jury, you are looking at this charge. For the first half of this charge, we want to define motor vehicle in this way. For the second half of this charge, jury, people who are not lawyers, people who are citizens, we now want you to define motor vehicle this way.
Okay, so it may seem like it's not very, it may seem like this isn't all that practical, but if that's what the statute says, what difference does it make? I mean, we can't change statutes because it may be confusing for the jury.
I agree with you, Your Honor. However, I would say that you're not changing the statute. You're defining the definition first in time. Once motor vehicle was defined in 4511.01 for purposes of OVI, the trial court doesn't need to give another definition. It's like any other element in that offense. This term has been defined for you. Therefore, refer to the original definition.
So it doesn't really matter what the statute says. It's just this kind of first in time thing?
First in time, yes, Your Honor.
So what the actual statute that the legislature passed and what was enacted into law doesn't matter.
I think the actual statute does matter, Your Honor. I simply believe that in this instance, the first element is what is the applicable statute.
But how would that be fair to someone who was not involved with an OVI and had similar circumstances and had a different definition put? Or how would that be fair to the first person who maybe is a tougher definition, but the second person, when it's not an OVI, there's an out? I mean, is that the kind of predictability that we call for in the rule of law?
No, Your Honor. In this instance, for this specific code section, all of the predicate offenses, all of the must have committed this and it is therefore the proximate cause of serious physical harm, would all be offenses that are defined by 4511.01 because it is either OVI, reckless operation, or speed in a construction zone.
So you're not really meaning first in time, you're meaning predicate offense, right?
I believe both terms are applicable, but yes, Your Honor. The first...
I mean, first in time would be something we'd have to judicially make up, wouldn't it?
Define, yes. I think you would be defining something that's been in practice for years, Your Honor, and the reason I say that is that even OJI had the definition of motor vehicle for this code section.
But
as,
we don't have to follow OJI.
That is correct. I'm simply using that as an example, Your Honor.
Okay.
That OJI demonstrates the practice of what happens, and therefore this first in time.
Did the practice ever be wrong?
Yes.
Well, I mean, so what's your point then?
That this first in time is the correct interpretation of these statutes, Your Honor.
In effect, you're asking us to define a definition.
Yes, I am, Your Honor.
The definition should speak for itself, shouldn't it?
I believe the definition does speak for itself, Your Honor. The state's second argument before this court is that if this court believes that the correct definition of motor vehicle is 4501.01, not 4511.01, then we have to look at the language of 4501.01 and what is the principal purpose of a utility vehicle. The court has determined in multiple cases how to interpret 4501.01. The Sixth District looked at State v. Wilson, Menschenbach, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, Putka, Wasson, and State v. Eichel. We would turn specifically to Menschenbach, which was looking at whether or not farm equipment could be interpreted based off of the statutory language of 4501.01, or was just farm equipment was always farm equipment. This court said that farm equipment was to be looked at as whether or not it was general highway transportation and applied the language of general highway transportation that is in the code section. The state of Ohio would ask this court to do something very similar with utility vehicle. Utility vehicle is not simply an item that is listed in 4501.01. Utility vehicle is called out. It's separated in subsection VV. And in that subsection, it must be the principal purpose that it is a utility vehicle. Specifically, a utility vehicle means a self-propelled vehicle designed with a bed, principally for the purpose of transporting material or cargo in connection with construction, agriculture, forestry, grounds maintenance, lawn, garden, materials.
What testimony was there?
Your Honor, the testimony was that the defendant drove this vehicle after a party.
But wasn't his testimony, he used it for farming purposes.
But had nothing to back that up, respectfully.
I understand, but was there any testimony contrary?
Yes. His testimony that he drove this for the party, that he drove that corner repeatedly, that he did not farm the property on which this vehicle was located, that he, in fact, farmed someplace else. There was significant testimony to the contrary that the principal purpose of this Polaris was, in fact, as a utility vehicle. He admitted that it had a safety belt for...
But you, both sides seem focused on what he used this vehicle for, but the definition seems to talk about what it's designed to be used for, not the specific use. It says a self-propelled vehicle designed with a bed, principally for the purpose of transporting material, cargo, and construction with construction, agriculture, et cetera. So I don't understand why we're looking at, why you're arguing about this particular vehicle.
Because I don't believe that the principal purpose should be based off of an advertisement of what a vehicle can be used
for. Shouldn't it be based on what the language says of the statute? And the language of the statute says what it's designed to be used for.
Yes, but in this case, it wasn't used that way.
But that doesn't seem to matter, right? If you read the statute, it says a self-propelled vehicle designed with a bed principally for the purpose of. It doesn't say that it was used principally for the purpose of. It says that it was designed principally for the purpose of.
I would argue, Your Honor, that principally for the purpose of is the qualifying language, and that the driver must be using it principally for that purpose.
What case law of ours says use is that important at the time of the incident?
Principally for the purpose of?
No, at the time of the incident.
Oh, at the time of the incident, Your Honor? Putka v. Parma uses at the time of the incident, and the court did not overturn Putka v. Parma. It separated it out that the backhoe was used at the time and could not be could not stay a backhoe when it was being driven around on the roads everywhere. So I would
look
to that.
But most of the case law says we don't care about the use at the time of the incident.
My interpretation, Your Honor, respectfully, is that the case law says you look at the language of the code, and you don't look at use when it's just one of the items listed, but when it's separated out, like a utility vehicle is, that language means something, and therefore this court has applied that language and used it in other, as a defining reason for why this would be something different than just any utility vehicle is applicable.
Doesn't principally presuppose that that is not going to be the only thing that it's used for?
Yes, but
that's in the statute.
Yes, I agree, Your Honor, but it still has to principally be used for that and was not in any way in this case.
And with the case about the backhoe, I think we can all figure out that the backhoe has to be lifted up or taken off the vehicle in order to drive it on the road, but this vehicle didn't have to be modified or adjusted in any way to go from the road to the trails or to the fields, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. Yes.
All right, thank you.
I'm going to reserve my 3 minutes and 45 seconds that I have left for rebuttal, please.
Good morning, Mr. Catter.
Thank you, Chief Justice, and to the Supreme Court of Ohio. The first point I'd like to make in response to the state is that there are, by statute, two different definitions applicable to OVI and a vehicular assault. Because the OVI statute does not actually use the term motor vehicle, the OVI statute is far broader and applies to any vehicle. So that was intended. I know the General Assembly years ago changed that. That would encompass bicycles, water skis, and far more vehicles than simply motor vehicle. So by the plain language of the statute, you already have two different definitions that apply to this. One definition per the statute applies to whether or not you can prove the OVI, and then the definition of motor vehicle as found in 4501.01 applies to the felony statute, which adds additional elements. One point I would make is this court has already had the opportunity to look at the qualifiers of definitions. The only reason that there are different definitions for motor vehicle is the General Assembly has instructed chapter by chapter in the revised code which definitions apply to particular chapters. The definition of motor vehicle that the state is trying to argue, the one in 4511.01, by its plain language does not apply because the header of that section says as applied in chapters 4511 and 4510. Conversely, the header to the definition of motor vehicle in 4501.01 specifically says as applied to the penal code. And while I surmise the penal code was a reference back in the general code, it's clear that Title 29 and all of the criminal code of Ohio is contained within Title 29. So that is the penal code as applied. And this court has previously looked at that in State v. Wilson when it was looking at the definition of operate. And it found that the definition of operate as found in 4511.01 did not strictly apply to the driving under suspension case at hand because of its limitations. Now, this case differs because the General Assembly does provide another definition. So what we're asking you to do is just simply adhere to the statute as the General Assembly has passed it by saying that the correct definition under the plain and unambiguous language is 4501.01, and that there's nothing absurd or misleading requiring this court's intervention by applying two separate definitions to two separate offenses. I would even go so far as to note that the OVI is actually governed under the traffic rules of this court, while the the vehicular assault is actually governed under the criminal rules. So this is a relatively common occurrence, and we should trust the jury to be able to understand that there is one definition as applied to whether or not the OVI was committed, and then a separate definition as to whether or not the crime of aggravated vehicular assault was proven.
I want to test your any vehicle argument a little bit. Is a skateboard a vehicle? If so, if you're at .178 and you're skateboarding and knock somebody down, is that a vehicle?
Your Honor, I can say with confidence a bicycle is a vehicle.
I know. I'm asking a different question.
And I believe that with the vehicle propelled, the propulsion of the vehicle makes it at least arguable that the skateboard could be considered an OVI. I do know that horses can be an OVI. I personally have not encountered a case that has been charged under a skateboard or seen any court, but the definition of vehicle is broad enough that I believe it. I would certainly expect to see that charged and that question potentially be left
then
to the court.
What about rollerblades or roller skates?
It's the propelled by human
movement.
So I would say a skateboard is more likely than a roller skate because it's a separate apparatus and not connected to the human body. But at that point, I think a pretty careful analysis of the vehicle statute
the vehicle
would be.
Part. Okay.
I would want to refer to that.
Gotcha.
But I think it's certainly at least within the General Assembly's discretion to decide that the more serious felony charge, that which carries a mandatory prison sentence, be restricted to motor vehicles, while OVIs are more broadly applicable to any vehicle. So as to the distinction between principal purpose and use, again, I believe this is a case where, although it's a very lengthy definition, the General Assembly has provided this court all of the tools that it needs in the statutory provision to be able to apply the statute. The only reason that the use of a vehicle matters is if the General Assembly in the definition has specifically decided that use is a critical factor. And that's what this case, that's what this court found in Winkenbach, where the question of whether the construction equipment was met the definition or not was whether or not it was being used as construction equipment, because that is exactly what that portion of the statute said. That statute said that construction equipment is only exempted as a motor vehicle when it is being used. The word used appeared in the statute. In this case, it is a completely different subsection. The General Assembly, in defining motor vehicle, has listed several options. It's a lengthy definition. Sometimes those subparts are unqualified. Sometimes they are qualified. In this case, we agree utility vehicle is qualified, but it's not as to how it is being used at the time. It's qualified only by its principal purpose, principally used as. And I agree, Justice Bruner, that is a word that envisions that sometimes it's not going to be used or it's not always used as. We are looking at the design, the construction, and the specific attributes of that vehicle. And in this case, the record, I believe, is unquestioned that the unqualified testimony shows that this does meet the definition of utility vehicle. I'd note that the defense was the one that introduced exhibits A through E as to the actual vehicle. So we have pictures of it in the record, and we have testimony as to what it can be used for and what it's principally designed for. I think the fact that it was not being used in that manner and the particular night in question is completely irrelevant by the definition of the statute. We are only looking for the details of its principal purpose, and I believe the testimony is very thorough in the record that principal purpose, it does have the bed. So I do want to take a moment to distinguish this between this and what are commonly called ATVs or all-terrain vehicles. Those vehicles do not have a bed. They are two seats with the rollover bars. Those vehicles do meet the motor vehicle definition, because they are not, they do not have the bed. So having the bed is something that the statute says is a requirement. And so they are not utility vehicles. So this is an extremely small subset of cases that we're talking about, because this does not categorically exempt any non-traditional motor vehicle. The statute is relatively broad and covers that. But the statute itself gives us the guidance as to what the utility vehicle is. And the use requirement of that vehicle, I believe, is irrelevant. Otherwise, you would be saying that the words use and the words principal purpose in effect mean the same thing, and that would be altering the General Assembly's definitions. They would not need to, if everything was subsumed into a use definition, then the difference in the distinguishment between those words would no longer matter. The use definition would swallow up the principal purpose. And respectfully, I think what the state is asking is for this court to substitute its judgment for that of the General Assembly. And with the plain language of the statute being unambiguous, it would not be the role of this court to extend itself out to redefine the words that the General Assembly has given us. While it is certainly true that within the traffic code generally, that these are not necessarily the most crystal clear of statutes in terms of the long walls of text in the various versions, I think there is still unambiguous clear text that, on the first part, that the definition in 4501.01 is clearly the definition of motor vehicle that applies to Title 29 by its own plain terms, and that by asking to substitute the 4511.01 definition is simply ignoring the mandate that that section only applies to 4511 and 4510. Then, once we look at the utility vehicle definition, we find that the principal purpose test looks at the characteristics of the vehicle. And when we look at those characteristics from the defense exhibits and the testimony unrebutted in the trial court, that there can be no question that this is a motor vehicle, or this is a utility vehicle, thereby exempt. I believe the Sixth District did a very, very thorough and clear analysis of this case. I thought that the Court of Appeals went through and analyzed the statutes very well, and that decision hopefully can guide this court in reviewing the statutes and finding that the Sixth District case should be affirmed in this instance.
So you don't believe that it should go back to the trial court for the jury in the first instance to decide?
Your Honor, respectfully, no. I believe that the sufficiency of the evidence test here, where no rational fact finder could have found other, was properly applied by the Sixth District, that this the state had their chance. This issue was raised. Defense counsel at trial raised this issue before the jury, objected. This was not an issue. The use versus principal purpose test was before the trial court. So it was no mystery. Both sides had their opportunity to present the evidence, and that the sufficiency says that no rational fact finder could find otherwise. I believe that that standard was clearly met in this case. So I'd be asking an affirmance on those grounds. If there are no further questions before this court, I thank you and ask for affirmance.
You have 3 minutes and 42 seconds left. Ms. Sandretto.
Thank you, Your Honor. We would ask the court to, if we're going to go with 4501.01, acknowledge that principal purpose has to have a meaning. And in this case, the principal purpose of this vehicle was not as a utility vehicle. It was as a people mover. That's what it was used for. The defendant himself testified repeatedly throughout the trial that he used it that night. He used it to move his wife and daughter around the property. He did not farm on the property. Also, the vehicle itself, Your Honors, can go up to 60 miles an hour. It requires that the seatbelt be used so that it doesn't go when it goes over 15 miles an hour. All of those things are examples outside the definition that is given of principal purpose as a utility vehicle. And we would argue before this court that this principal purpose of this was not as a utility vehicle. We would ask that this court, if it deems that the appropriate definition was 4501.01, that rather than uphold the Sixth District's overturning of the definition of the defendant's conviction, that it be returned to the trial court so that the case can be tried with the correct definition of motor vehicle in this matter. Are there any other questions? Thank you, Your Honors. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll receive a copy of the decision in the mail.